Line. Thank you for joining us here at Truth and Love Ministries for this week's message, where it is our desire to connect people to God, connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. So connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or leave us a message on our website at truthandlove.tv. While you're there, stay in the know with our weekly news broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Now here's the message, already in progress.
Themselves, all you do is sit there and give them the silent treatment, because the Bible says, let me give you Bible, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. A soft answer puts the fire out. But if we going tick for tack, if we going blow for blow, if we going your mama, my mama, your mama, if you just going back and forth for this individual, you're just going to make matters worse. But Jesus teaches me how I can be silent and yet powerful. Thank you very much. I believe I can teach an individual much more with my silence than I can with my rambling. Anybody can talk. Anybody can go blow for blow. My wife had to teach me this when we first got married. We get into, saints don't argue. We get into heated fellowships. We get into a heated fellowship, and I just be like, well, I ain't never like it no way. You know, you just, come on, man, I'm a younger brother. I got older sisters. My older sister, name not important, Tynetta, she used to torture me as a young child. I mean, I didn't do anything to her. She had this move that I had to tag, and I called it the rump shaker. And what she would do is she'll put me literally on my back to her back and put me on the back and bounce around like this. And I'm just a little fragile little boy minding my own business, wanting to play with my little tiddlywinks and play shoot and loud, and she just come in there and terrorize me. How many know I just kind of fabricated that a little bit? But so I grew up, I'm a baby boy. So I had to defend myself when we get in an argument. When we used to fight, I had to say something that's going to let you know, nah, you ain't finna win this argument. So I brought that right into the marriage. We arguing, I'm gonna say something that don't hurt you. Come on, y'all. Ain't nobody never said nothing to nobody. Well, no, I'm going for broke. I'm going for the gusto. And then 2 days later, I'm like, what's up, girl? What's up? She's like, nah, what you said 2 days ago? I was like, girl, I was just playing. We're just an argument. I ain't mean that. We didn't mean that. That's not what I really meant. Come on, we just was arguing. I was trying to win the argument. She said, no, you don't play like that. Don't fight dirty. Come on here, somebody. You can't fight dirty. I had to learn that, and I be wanting to say, yo, but I say, oh, yeah, all right. I ain't gonna argue. Y'all let go. Help, boy. Y'all ain't got the right message. I have a better message next week, I promise you. But can I tell you, you have to learn how to exemplify silence and exemplify a character. Jesus shows us that. Jesus says that you don't have to respond just because somebody says something to you. You don't got to give nobody a piece of your mind just because they came for you. You need all your mind. Don't be passing out pieces. Come on. No, you need all your brain. Don't be giving nobody. You shouldn't have pressed the wrong button. Take the buttons off. Come on, somebody. You don't have to say you pressed the wrong. No, take the button. Take the button off. Look at what this brother said. Y'all don't like me, but it get a little better. Look what he says. Verse 39. He says, save yourself. And look what he said. And us. This brother shows us what the epitome of a church folk do. Church folk can talk to Jesus, be in close proximity with Jesus, and still go to hell. I mean, I'm not making this up. This brother's talking to Jesus, isn't he? Isn't he in close proximity with you? Judas taught us this, that you can be with him for years and not really know him. This brother has a relationship with Jesus simply based off of what he can get from Jesus. He says, save yourself And if I was Jesus, I'd say, well, where you come from? Why am I going to help you? Where am I going to help you at? So this brother just not only wants Jesus to save himself, he slides in there saving me as well. And here this is the epitome of what a person who doesn't have an authentic relationship with God, they're satisfied with just being around him. They're satisfied with just coming to church. They're satisfied with just singing songs. They're satisfied with just teaching and with just preaching. But no, I must have a real, fresh, and a vibrant relationship with God. Because I don't want to take the church bus to hell. I don't want to take the church bus to hell. I want to church every week, but never know him. Look what verse 40 says. Verse 40 says, but the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation. In other words, this brother says, why are you talking to him this way? Don't you fear God? He rebuked him. So we see not only the fact that we see the silence of the Savior. Secondarily, if you're taking notes, it's on the screen. We see a sinner who sees himself. This brother, he says to the other criminal, he says, why are you talking to him this way? He doesn't deserve, you'll see it in a minute. He said, he doesn't deserve what he's getting. But we deserve exactly what we're getting. Can I tell you that the first step of conversion, the first step from going from just a church folk to a person who has a relationship with God is, first of all, admitting that you a sinner. First of all, you have to learn how to see yourself. There are so many people that can have 15 jobs and they always blame the supervisor. There's so many people that can have 19 marriages, but it's always the other person's fault. Come on here, somebody. They never see themselves. But in order for God to grow me, in order for God to mature me, in order for God to advance me, in order for God to do what he desires to do in my life, I have to learn to see myself and stop pointing fingers at everyone else. Stop blaming everyone else. But no, Mike, if Mike was sitting, he said, you got to be able to look at the man in the mirror. You got to be able to look at yourself and know that there's something in your life that you need to do. You got to look at yourself and say there's something that you contributed. It may not have been all the way your fault, but there's still something that you can learn from the situation. Come on, I tell people all the time, when they criticize me, when they have things to say about me, I did this and I did that, I'll say, you know what, I don't 100% agree with you, but I tell them that there's truth in every criticism. Come on here. There's some truth in every criticism. Y'all ain't hear what I said. I said there's some truth in every criticism. When I said what I said, I didn't mean it that way. You took it the wrong way. But you know what? There's some truth in that. So next time I'll adjust my tone. I'll adjust my talk. Next time I'll do a little bit better on my part. And I see it's easy for me just to shovel the blame on everybody else. But when you gonna see yourself? This brother teaches me something there. He sees something. But what's so amazing about this, and I'm going to be done for you know what. What's so amazing about this? Matthew tells me what's amazing. Look at Matthew 27:44 on the screen. Look. Even the two criminals crucified next to him joined in the mockery. Luke didn't tell me this. Matthew did. Luke just tells me that he rebuked the brother. But Matthew says that he was talking noise to Jesus too. Oh my God, that's so good. So something happened to this brother. The way he can go from ridiculing Jesus, mocking Jesus, to all of a sudden he's quiet. And now it's just the one criminal that's talking trash. And he steps up and changes. The Bible says that he's joined in the mockery. I'm after somebody today that is joined in the mockery. Mockery, my feeble definition of mockery is something that brings shame to you. Have you ever done something that you're going to carry to your grave? Come on here. Nobody here but just us. Nobody here. We can talk a little bit. Have you ever did something that you're not the first one in testimony line? Somebody, well, let me testify. No, I believe in something called cold cases. Come on here. Somebody. So here, I'm not going to tell you everything. Come on, y'all go help me. See, there's some things that I've done. There's some things that I participated in. There's some things that I joined in that my mama taught me better than that. My father taught me better than that. My namesake taught me better than that. Come on here, somebody. There's some things that I'm ashamed of that I've done. There's some things that I've engaged in that I'm ashamed of. And don't you look at me like that in that tone of voice, because all of us have some things that we've engaged in that we're not proud of. But here, the key is not the fact that you participated in the mockery. It's not the thing that you participated in, the thing that you know will bring shame to your family, shame to the people that raised you, shame to the people that look up to you and respect you and revere you. The point is not that you engage in it, but the point is that you can come up out of it. Come on here, somebody. Not that you did it, but you want to stop doing it. I don't know what you've joined in to. I don't know if you joined in the mockery of alcoholism, joined into the mockery of smoking and shooting and snorting, joined into the mockery of just illicit sex. Boy, it's so quiet, you can hear a cotton ball drop, I promise you. Join into the mockery of stealing or just being nasty and mean, hateful, unforgiving. It doesn't matter what you joined in. See, this brother, something happened in this brother. The way he's on the cross, he joined into the mockery, but it's something that he saw in Jesus that made him stop the mockery. And that's all I'm praying today. I'm praying that somebody will stop the mockery based on something that they see. I'm praying that somebody will stop whatever it is that they're engaging in based off of what it is that God exposes them to. And this is exactly why it's so important for those of us that love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so important for us to let our light so shine that men can see our good works. That's why it's so important on how I carry myself. It does matter. I hear people say all the time, I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you think about me. That's good in a sense, but I should care everything about what you think about me, because the way you think about me is what I portray. I'm not representing Kobe. I'm representing Christ. I'm not representing Kobe, but I'm representing who it is that I say that I serve. When you say you're a Christian, you should care. My point is this, that someone can look at your life and gain some encouragement from how you live. Jesus is in the worst possible position he can be in, but his life is so powerful that he's still magnetic. Y'all didn't hear what I said. His life is so powerful at the lowest point of his life, yet and still he's drawing people. That's what he said in John 12:32. He said, if I be lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men unto myself. Come on here. You could be in the middle of a dungeon. You could be in the middle of a prison. You could be in the middle of a storm of your life. Your marriage is bad. Your children are just losing their mind, but yet and still you can live in such a way that someone sees the way you carry yourself and sees the way you love your God, sees the way you study your word, sees the way you worship even in the midst of your pain, that it will cause them to be magnetic, and they'll say, what is that God that you serve? What is it about that God that you keep on talking about, you keep reading about, you keep studying about? You can be magnetic even in your pain. Even in your pain, you can be magnetic. Jesus is magnetic even in his pain. That caused his brother to say something. Look at verse 41, and I'm almost out of here. Verse 41 says, And we indeed justly. This is what he said. What I'm getting, I deserve it. What you're getting, you deserve it. We committed a crime. When you do the crime, you ought to do the time. Oh, I got good news for somebody mama, somebody grandma right now, that because your son, because your daughter, because your child, because your grandchild up the road, now all of a sudden you got to put a pause on your life just because they did what they did. Now you got to mortgage your house. Now you got to sell your car. Now you got to do it. No. Tell them I'm going to visit you in the mail. Come on here, somebody. No, I'm not going to stop my life. I'm not going to put a pause on everything because you out there living foolish and you out there doing what you got to do. No. You did it. You got to pay for it. Let me keep going, because y'all ain't like that one either. I'm 0 for 3. I got to give you one time. Listen. What we did it justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. Does anybody Bible say the wages of sin is death? When I understand the way that I live causes me to experience death. Death is not Restlawn, not Edgewood, not the graveyard, because all of us are going that way. Hebrews 9:27 says it's once appointed unto man to die. After death, then the judgment. So we're all going to die or either be raptured up. We're all getting out of here by some kind of way in some form. We're all getting out of here. But know that death does not mean the cemetery or the graveyard. That death means separation from God. So your sin, my sin, separates me from God. But this brother said, if I die and we die and we're doing what we need to do, we deserve it. But this brother has done nothing wrong, what he says in verse 41. So he sees something. Not only does he see himself, he sees it on the screen. He sees the seriousness of the sinless Savior. He sees the seriousness of the sinless Savior. I bet you can't say that five times, man. He sees the seriousness of the sinless Savior right next to Sally selling seashells at the sea, at the seashells at the sea. He sees the seriousness. Of the Savior. He sees this brother is sinless. Can I tell you that this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because when I see Christ as sinless, he did no wrong. The Bible says he was tempted and tested at every point. He did no wrong, but because of the fact that he did no wrong, but he put on wrong, he put on our sin, that allows you and I to be able to look at him and say, yeah, you know what, I blowed it. Yeah, you know what, I did do that. I did say that. I did go there. I did go that. But because I put my faith in the sinless Savior, because I put my faith in the fact that he lived a life and gave the power to me, now I can live the life. Now when God see me, he don't see me in my sin. He see me being covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why it's so important that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're all sinners. But when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood covers me. His blood covers me. Come on, I taught you this before. His blood covers me. And when God looked down at me, he don't see my sin. He sees the blood. Come on here, somebody. That's why you got to get yourself covered in the blood, the efficacious blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. It will never, ever lose its power, because I got to be covered in the blood of the Lamb. This brother here, he sees the seriousness of a sinless Savior, and that's what I'm after today. I'm after somebody that will see the seriousness of a sinless Savior. The fact that Jesus Christ never sinned, the fact that Jesus Christ never lived in a way that where it gratified his flesh. You and I can gain strength from that. You and I can put our hope in that. We don't look to no man. We don't put no trust in no one. We don't put no, you better not trust nobody. You better put your trust, your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard one old song say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. Come on here, somebody. That's where my hope need to be. That's where my faith need to be. Come on, put your hands together. Give God some praise for that. I'm sorry I'm boring y'all today, but I'm getting ready to blaze up out of here. I'm talking about this criminal who is on the cross. I'm talking about this criminal who sees himself, and he sees the seriousness of the sinless Savior. And the Bible says, because of what he saw, because of what Jesus showed him, I just like to believe that I see something in this criminal. In fact, I'm going to call him a smooth criminal. Y'all ain't going to help me preach in here. This is a smooth criminal. Lord, this is a criminal where he can be standing right here, but leaning over here. Come on here, y'all ain't gonna help me preach in here. I'm talking about this brother's a smooth criminal. Why is he a smooth criminal? Because he says something. Look at verse 42. He said, Jesus, he said, remember me. I'm after to somebody today that will admit that you're a criminal, that will admit that you're a sinner, that will admit that you've done wrong, that will admit that you deserve hell, that you will admit that you deserve whatever you get. But when you're a smooth criminal, you'll say, Jesus, remember, I need you to remember me. I need you to remember me when you come into your kingdom. Come on, I'm trying to preach to somebody today. I'm after a soul today. I'm after somebody today that know they can't make it in this world, that know they can't make it in this life. You can't make it without the Savior. You can't make it without that amazing grace. Come on here. I heard one writer say that this is the luckiest man in the world. Out of all the crosses, out of all the heels, out of all the executions, this one brother finds himself right next to the Savior. Can I tell you that you're not the luckiest man in the world? You're not the luckiest woman in the world, but you're blessed because the Lord let you come in the house today. You're blessed because you should have been dead. You should have been sleeping in your grave. You are blessed because you should have OD'd. That stray bullet should have got you. You are blessed because you're sitting up in here and you can understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. You are blessed because the Lord let you hear this word, and you ought to talk like that criminal. You ought to be a smooth criminal and say, Lord, if you got any more room for me, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? See, this brother acknowledged the fact that he was a sinner. He acknowledged the fact that he deserved hell. But he also acknowledged the fact that he's talking to a king. See, the only way you can have a kingdom is if you're a king. He says to the King of Kings, he said that your crown right now, your crown might not may be thorns. Your crown right now, it may be nails in your hand, but you're still a king. This brother identified. See, you got to be able to look beyond. You got to be able to look beyond the surface. You got to look beyond your pain. You got to be able to look beyond what you presently see to know there's more. There's more than meets the eye. You got to know that whatever you're going through right now is more than what you're going through. But the Lord lets you go through something that you can get to something. The Lord trying to do something in your life. And you need to say, Lord, I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom. But look what Jesus said to him. Jesus said in verse 43, he said, truly, King James say, verily, verily, verily. If I was in the hood, they'll say, show enough, show enough. He say, show enough, truly, you're going to be with me today in paradise. I'm coming to encourage somebody today that today you can be in paradise. I'm not telling you you're going to die. Not telling you're going to check out of here. But today you can right your wrong. Today you can let your past go. Today you can walk away from your sin. You can walk away from the degradation. You can walk away from the hell. The hell that had you bound. And you can say, today I'm going to walk in the fullness of joy. You can say, today I'm experiencing everything that God has for me. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Is there anybody in here? I'm getting ready to close this thing, but I feel like preaching a little bit. Is there anybody in here that is tired of what you're going through? You're tired of your trouble. You're tired of catching hell. If you're tired of catching hell, let me show you what to do. Come here, baby. See, whenever it is you catching hell, catch my rag. See, she catching hell. Hell keep on coming, and she keep on catching it. But what you do when hell come, just stop catching it. Y'all not gonna help me preaching here. You're tired of catching hell. Go on and put your hand up. You put your hand up. You put your hand away, and you put your hand up and say, Lord, I'm tired of catching hell. And you say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. Lord, the help I know. I'm tired of catching hell. I'm tired of what I'm going through. I'm looking for some paradise. I'm looking for some joy. I'm looking for some favor. I'm looking for some power. I'm looking for some peace. So I'm going to stretch my hand. And I'm going to say, Lord, I I want you to help me. I need your help. You ought to put your hands together and give my God some praise. Hallelujah. 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 I said hallelujah. I'm looking for the Lord to remember me. Can I tell you that the Lord, he remembered your pain. The Lord remember your struggle. Maybe you was raped. Maybe you was molested. Maybe you were fired wrongfully. Maybe somebody took advantage of you. Can I tell you that the Lord, he remembers what you've been through. He remembers what you've gone through. And he say today, he says today, listen to me. Listen to my message. Jesus says, truly, you know why he says truly? Because it's absolutely unbelievable. Mean to tell me I've been living like a criminal all my life. Mean to tell me I've been doing this and doing that, and you're just going to tell me it's just that easy to put my trust in the sinless Savior, to admit my guilt, admit my wrong. You mean to tell me it's just that easy? Jesus says, truly, I say to you. Listen to me. He says, I say to you. Salvation is an individual thing. It's not about a group package. It's not about just because what my mama did, what my grandmama did, what this person did, and that, what that. No, he says, today I say to you. That's what God is saying to you today. He want to let you know that today